Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And good afternoon. Welcome to a Thursday afternoon here from the Allstate Showcase Studio. I should say the Allstate Skyline Studio, high above the Chicago River on this Thursday afternoon. Dennis Rodkin is in the studio. He writes about real estate for Crane Chicago Business, and we'll kick some houses around a little bit later. Ian Scher will be here too, and then Elise Glink. Elise is going to talk about the fact, Dennis, you know this, that the property taxes for Cook County taxpayers are now available online.
Yeah.
It's not really new, is it? Did it come up online before they go out in the mail, is it?
No, it's been available.
Right.
It is also available in Lake County.
So home sales were out for May,
yeah,
and they weren't so good, right?
They weren't so good. No, you know, it looks like we're seeing a flattening. We have prices were up in the larger region, in the nine-county region, but essentially flat, up a tiny little smidge in the city, and sales were down. The number of sales was down, both for the city and for the region in May. That's kind of been coming. It happens that we our figures coincided with the national figures. That's not always true. And part of the explanation that the national industry people are giving is the shortage of inventory.
And we've been talking about that for years, right?
Yeah. And I hesitate to say that that's the only... It certainly is playing a part. But I also... I feel that I sort of see some pessimism in the market.
Really? Based on?
Well, just from the agents I talk to, the people I talk to, the fact that it's still very, very slow. The market is still very, very slow on the North Shore, in a lot of the Northwest, West, and South suburbs. Except when you look at the really hot city neighborhoods, the near North, Wicker Park, West Town, those kinds of areas. It's just not popping.
You just had a story up on the was it the assessments in Lake County?
In Lake County, yeah.
Which are not going up?
Not going up as much. So last year, there are 18 townships in Lake County. Almost every one was up about 5%. This year, many of them are up far less. West Deerfield Township, which has Deerfield in it, and Moraine Township, which has Highland Park in it, were up less than 1%.
Okay, so if you're a taxpayer, though, I'm not disappointed by that, am I?
Well, your tax bill may still go up because there are two pieces of your tax bill.
Would it go up less if the assessment is...
Not necessarily.
Okay,
because it all depends on... Yeah, exactly. You should be sad, Steve. It all depends on how much the taxing bodies ask for. This is the base upon which your tax bill will be calculated, the taxable value of your home. The point is that it seems to highlight a slowdown in price growth. Prices up about 5% in 2016 in those areas I mentioned, and up less than 1% in 2017, which is what the assessments are based on. So it looks as if maybe prices have stopped growing at
right.
the pace they were.
And but up there, it's been fairly slow anyway, right, with luxury housing?
It has. I was actually sort of surprised by the 5% figure a year ago, but some of that is catching up from... it's based on only what sells, and there were houses selling, and some of it is catch up from the years before. But yeah, it's been quite slow on the North Shore. There are, I think we've talked about it, I keep a file of homes that sell for below their old sale price,
right,
and in some cases below their past two sale prices. And the majority of the entrants in that file are on the North Shore.
Okay, you wrote something this past week that I'm really interested in, and it was a report on home equity loans.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're now at the same level they were in 2008.
Right, not yet to the point of 2006, before housing got funny, but nearly.
Well, 2008, was that still sort of pre-crash, right?
And these are lines of credit. These are home equity lines of credit. One reason they're up is that if you're going to tap the equity in your house, you're less likely to refinance your loan because you probably financed when interest rates were lower than they are now. So that would be one reason home equity lines of credit would be more popular now. But yeah, to me, the good news was there are people who actually have enough equity in their homes to have a home equity line of credit.
Because here in Chicago, we're underwater today in a couple of ways, right? The rain outside and their and their housing values.
Yes.
We're the most underwater city in the country.
I arranged this rain as a physical
segue.
Evocation of our marketplace. But yeah, we have a lot of homes underwater.
So then if we are able to get home equity loans, that's a sign that there's equity there.
Yes.
And a lot of those homes that people can borrow.
And a lot of it, so a lot of those are in these fast-moving, high-rising neighborhoods. I had a man in North Center where prices have gone up considerably in the last few years, as an example in the story. And the reason he has more equity is just that the value of the house has increased. It's not that he's paid it off or anything like that. And that's good news that people can do that.
Right.
The other good news in that story is that there was a lot of abuse. There apparently was a lot of abuse of home equity lines of credit just before the last bust. But the new rules seem to be likely to keep people from abusing them.
Well, I wanted to get to that because in the past, you could take out a home equity loan, spend it on whatever you wanted,
right.
And it was considered like a mortgage loan, right? You didn't have to, you could
right.
deduct the interest you were paying.
You could deduct the interest, and people were off because home values were rising so fast in Chicago as well as elsewhere. People were borrowing and paying for a wedding, buying a boat, paying
right.
for a bar mitzvah, whatever it was. Because your house was worth so much, you might as well tap some of that.
Can't do that now with the new tax law.
Can't do it under the new tax law. The interest is only deductible if you're using the money for home improvements, which
right.
is what a home equity line of credit really was created for. I need to fix the deck. I need to update the bathrooms, whatever it is. They were the line of credit really was designed so that you would plow the money back into the house. And now, because of the way the tax code has changed, you're a lot more likely to plow the money back into the house.
One other study, I think it was from CoreLogic, was it CoreLogic that talked about the people who were way behind in their mortgages or the people
yeah.
who are a little bit behind is dropping.
Yes, so I've had a couple of stories recently that show signs
feel
of
good. Yeah.
For once. Yeah, I know. I'm usually Mr. Bad News. Yes, it's good news. Far fewer people are way behind on their mortgage payments. Fewer than the number is lower than it's been since 2006. So in 2011-12, when our home values were way down and far more people were unemployed and things were really tough. The number of people who were behind on the mortgage spiked, and we've gradually been working our way back.
Okay, we've worked our way through all the responsible stuff.
The grown-up stuff.
Let's talk about the party houses in the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
What's this about?
You know, this kind of fascinates me because I wrote the stories in 2015. Cedar Street is on the Gold Coast. It's between Lake Michigan and Rush Street. And so it's kind of desirable if you're going to be hanging out on Rush Street. People were saying a company bought two mansions. One had been a bed and breakfast and the other had been a residence, and they were going to convert them both to short-term rentals,
right.
Airbnb style rentals. And people who live on the block, it's a beautiful block. It's got historical homes.
Well, it's very Tony, very Tony area.
Yeah.
So if you live on the block, you don't necessarily want tourist
bachelorette parties right. And so the neighbors were all saying it's going to become Animal House in here. We don't want this. And I reported the stories, and it turns out that they were right.
Yeah,
the two houses did get the short-term rental licenses, and according to Alderman Hopkins, in one of the two houses is in his ward. According to Alderman Hopkins, in the last few years, those two houses have been the source of complaints about drug use and litter and broken glass in the street and noise and even, he believes, a porn shoot in one of them.
I've been waiting 2 minutes for you to get to this
part.
For me
to get to the porn part?
Yeah.
Now, this is by the short-term renters, the tenants who are there for 3 or 4 days, not by the owners, although there was apparently one situation with an owner falling asleep drunk in his car. And so the aldermen, both Hopkins on the north side of the street and Riley on the south side of the street, because the two houses are on opposite sides of the street, kind of put they pretty much made it clear, yeah, this has just got to end.
Right.
So essentially what happens is in 15, the neighbors were saying this is going to become a mess. And in 18, it turns out, yeah, it became such a mess that those two houses are back up for sale.
Dennis Rodkin writes about real estate for Crane Chicago Business. You can read it at chicagobusiness.com. Home values and porn shoots all on the same page. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline studio right along the Chicago River. Thanks very much for tuning in on this Thursday afternoon. Whatever you do, don't go outside. Bill Geiger is in the studio. Our conversations with Bill are sponsored by Geiger Wealth Management. Thanks for coming by. Nice to see you again.
Nice to be in here. Nice to be in your new studio.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
I mean,
it's
gorgeous.
It's just a beautiful place. So I've been out of touch a little bit. Was off last week.
Right.
I've been watching the markets, and things haven't been going very well. And I would imagine we always talk about the people, okay, me, who check our 401ks every day. This is probably a time of tension.
Oh, it is a little bit, and it kind of ties into to what I want to speak about today. And that is, our clients, as you know, are mostly late 50s, early 60s, and they're transitioning their portfolio from that big growth push throughout most of your career to getting ready for retirement. And the objective that people are trying to reach is really, Steve, the ability to retire with confidence, to know that their money's going to last them, to know that they're going to have the income to pay their bills throughout retirement.
How easily is that done? Because, you know, I've gone through this myself. I'm in my mid-50s, so I'm starting to look at dates and things like that. And I will go to where I do feel great. I'm feeling confident that we're there. And then the next day I'm like, well, you know, I just wonder if there's a difference maybe between confidence and guaranteed.
Well, confidence...
Is there?
Let me tell you what confidence comes down to in terms of retiring. And that is having dependable, sustainable income that you can count on, that you know every month you've got income coming in that in conjunction with your Social Security, Steve, is actually more than what you need. And think about this like a pension. If someone walked in here and said, and I know you'd love this, that you have a pension we forgot to tell you about, and it's going to pay you $4,000, $5,000, or $6,000 a month for the rest of your life, along with your Social Security, how confident would you be at that point looking toward retirement?
Well, let me think about that, Bill. I would be a lot more confident than I am today.
Okay. So the principle in terms of transitioning, in terms of shifting into a pre-retirement, is to make sure you can set up a source of dependable, sustainable income for yourself. So if you can do that, and that's kind of what we focus on with our clients.
How do you do it?
There's some different tools we have that allow you to do that. You take a portion of your portfolio. It might be 40%, 50%, something like that. And you move that from pure growth, where most people are at, into an income-producing strategy. Then you're set up. By the time you retire, you've got that income stream that you really need.
And so, you know, when do you know when to do that? I know you talk about late 50s or early 60s, but when is the right time?
Late 50s, early 60s. As soon as possible, some of the income strategies that we use, the longer that they have to work, they get really, really powerful. So I always tell people late 50s.
Right. And so, you know, again, people have been watching the market. The market over the past 8 years or so has been very strong.
Sure.
And I would imagine part of your job is to teach people or help people learn to look at things a little bit differently, because sometimes you don't want to get out of the market if things are red hot.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true, Steve. The mindset that you're in from the time you're in your 30s maybe until now is make my portfolio bigger.
Right.
Bigger, bigger, bigger. And absolutely, that's understandable. But at some point when the market shifts, it can become not bigger, right?
All right.
Okay, well, if we're close to an all-time high in the markets, and you're in your late 50s, this is a really nice time to talk about transitioning some of that portfolio out of risk and into income.
Bill Geiger is here. Okay, so one more question then. We've been talking for a few years now, right? So tell me about how people coming in to see you today are a little bit different emotionally than they were 3 years ago.
Well, it's what you just talked about. There's this cross current. They're elated that they're worth more money,
right?
But scared to death that it's going to get taken away from them. So, again, it's
kind
of funny to have this conversation now than at the bottom,
right? So the more money you have, maybe the more fear you have.
Sure, you got more money you've ever had in your entire life at this point, for most people. Steve, with what we're talking about right now, let's do something special. The next five callers who call in with at least $500,000 in their portfolio, we're going to help them on a complimentary basis to put together a full-blown plan for their retirement, including an income plan where we can do exactly what we've been talking about.
Bill Geiger, great to see you again.
Good to see you, sir.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we sit in the Allstate Skyline studio on this Thursday afternoon. Thanks very much for listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're going to talk to Ian Schur in just a minute from CNET. And one of the things I want to talk to Ian about is this big Supreme Court ruling today. But before that, I want to take a moment just to remind you again about the WGN trip to Ireland that's going to happen in late September and early October. Dave Hoekstra will be the host, and the highlight of the trip is a Van Morrison concert in Belfast. It's a really cool thing. He only does a few of these every year. It's basically in a hotel ballroom, 350 people, and you can be one of them or a couple of them if you would like to join the trip. We're kind of facing a deadline next week, so check out the information at stevebertrandtravel.com or just give me a call, 847-606-6061. Dave wrote for years and years, still does, about music and about travel, so he's a great guy and a perfect host for this trip. I hope you'll consider going along, because everyone who goes on these vacations certainly has a great time. You go to Dublin, Belfast, Donegal, and elsewhere, so check that out. All right, Ian Schur is on a phone line. Welcome back to the Biz Lunch, Ian.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm a little bummed, you know, because I do everything online now. I buy my toothpaste, I buy my food, everything I do is online now, and I'm worried that I'm going to have to start paying taxes for it, Ian.
You're going to have to start paying taxes on your toothpaste, sorry.
Wait a minute, was I supposed to be paying taxes on it all along?
Well, that depends on how you interpret moral issues, Steve. So what it comes down to is the Supreme Court says, yes, you should have been. You know, they decided today that basically you're going to have to pay taxes regardless of whether you're buying online from a retailer not in your state or whether you're buying it down the street.
And that's Ian, let me interrupt you for one sec. We've got a traffic bulletin coming from Violetta. Violetta, what's up?
Steve, that accident on the outbound Stevenson at California is now turning into a police investigation, and it looks like when crews get there, they're going to be closing the outbound Stevenson at Kedzie. All traffic is going to be forced off there, so pretty soon all lanes are going to be closed on the outbound Stevenson at Kedzie.
All right, thanks very much. Ian, it's just been a terrific day here weather-wise, so the travel times are already in the hours, and it's only going to get worse. But back to the court. So, I mean, the fact is, look, this has always been something that should have been taken care of. You know, if I buy something, I should pay the sales tax on it. And it's been a loophole that we've gotten away with. And it looks like those days are going to change.
I think that's how a lot of people interpret this. And look, I'm not crazy about paying more for whatever I buy these days. But it also is something that kind of makes sense. What worries Amazon and a bunch of other people is that it could hurt their business, because a lot of people like you would go to them to buy from them so they didn't have to pay sales tax. And for some people, especially like buying a TV, that's a big purchase. It's a lot of sales tax they were avoiding.
The other way to look at it, though, is it's probably going to help the local sales room or the showroom, because we used to go to those stores to find out what they would charge or to find out if we liked that TV and then go buy it tax-free online. That's not fair to the people who have the brick-and-mortar store, so maybe they'll benefit from this.
Not to mention the tax base will grow. No, there's a lot of issues around fairness that a lot of us, I think, were, avoiding by using our technology. And now the piper's coming down the roost, or whatever you call it, and it's happening.
All right, so that's from the Supreme Court today. Elon Musk was in Chicago, I think it was last week maybe, talking about, you know, that he's going to do a high-speed train to O'Hare. He strikes me as one of these people who comes along who may well be a genius, and with genius comes a little, well, fill in the blank, flakiness. I'm not sure what the right word is, but tell me about this early morning email he wrote about saboteurs.
Yeah, look, this sounds like it's a spy novel. So apparently there is a saboteur in Tesla who they identified because there was a fire at one of its paint shops in Fremont, California. And what they've now uncovered is that there is a person who not only is sabotaging Tesla from the inside, but also leaking code from their computers so that possibly competitors or whomever else can copy their ideas. And then further, they're actually inserting bad code into Tesla's systems to cause even more trouble. It sounds out of this world. It just doesn't sound like normal behavior. But he claims this is happening, and they are now investigating it and trying to solve the problem.
Is this the only instance of him behaving this way?
Look, we have heard a lot of interesting stuff from Elon Musk over the years, and we have chronicled at CNET many times that he has spoken about all sorts of things, from warning that AI is going to basically kill us all,
right?
And being one of the only voices that is prominent making those claims, to when the first Hyperloop was announced, people were like, "That sounds ridiculous," and now he's building a thing to O'Hare. So. The thing that's interesting about Musk is that he's always kind of cultivated this air of being a genius and being one of those people who thinks outside the box, but also actually gets it done. And so, when he sends out this wacky email that sounds like, again, it sounds like it came out of a movie, we all have to take notice and think maybe it's true. Maybe Tesla is going through a really weird issue right now.
Okay, but so what about my theory of the mad scientist? I mean, look, genius often comes with eccentricities, and maybe this is an example of that.
It's possible. I'm not going to place judgment on Musk just quite yet. I think right now let's find out whether or not these saboteurs are real and whether Tesla really is going through that. You also may have remembered they went through a reduction in their workforce. They cut their headcount by about 9% a couple weeks ago. So they are going through some very dramatic changes anyway, and it's very possible that this is caught up in that.
I was just back on a vacation, and when you're on vacation, you're taking pictures, you're taking videos, and there's no bigger drag than to look at your memory and to see that you're out because of the number of pictures, and you have to weed them out and eliminate some things like that. JPEG is celebrating its 25th year anniversary now, and they're out with a new product or a new form that actually will take up less space? What's this about?
Yeah, so this is basically coding technology. I mean, this is super nerd conversation, but what it comes down to is that the way that your files are stored and the bits, the ones and zeros that make up your photos are going to be done in a more efficient way. And it's possible that we're going to be able to basically put double the number of photos in your phone than you have right now without changing anything else.
It's National Selfie Day.
Cool.
So, right, it's National Selfie Day. So I want you to take a picture of yourself.
Twice the selfies.
And I mean, this is a thing that will have a big impact on a lot of people. I mean, it's not going to change their lives, but it's going to make people happier.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to have a huge impact. And look, there are a lot of people who, as you point out, run out of space on their phones or whatever. This is going to help them a lot. And by the way, JPEG is not the only people going through this.
Right.
A number of companies are coming up with ideas. Apple, for example, has one called HEIF, High Efficiency Image Format, that they've already adopted. That's in all of the iPhones that are modern are using it right now to double the amount of space that they have.
Well, that's
a bunch of other people. Up with them too.
That's all good because, again, on National Selfie Day, we need more pictures of ourselves on our phone. Ian,
that's
Scher.
What I've always said.
Thanks very much for joining us, senior editor at CNET.com. We'll talk again next week.
Absolutely.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. We're all aware of Facebook's efforts to push back against fake news, and training for Facebook users is coming to Chicago, and Sheryl Sandberg, the chief operating officer of Facebook, is saying that they're looking to train 1 million users across the country. This isn't the first time the social media company came to Chicago, after last year when they had a small business training program for 1,000 small business owners. It's an effort to continue their presence on the ground. You can't stay up in the technological cloud forever. You've got to reach the people. And despite the U.S. being out of the World Cup, Chicagoland people are still showing their interest. Soccer stores across Illinois were expecting a huge drop in apparel sales because the U.S. national team didn't make the World Cup. But the interest in the sport is actually up 4% since the last time the team qualified in 2014. People just want to be a part of the fun. Local retailers and soccer.com were seeing a huge spike in jersey sales from other countries like Poland, Argentina, and Mexico, which had the best-selling team jersey leading up to this year's start. Go ahead, join in the fun. Pick up a jersey, go to a bar at 7 a.m. and watch a game. That's your Wintrust Business Minute on WGN Radio.
WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here we are on 720 WGN in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high above the Chicago River. Elise Glinka is on the phone line now. Elise, they tell me the Chicago River is below us, but this is one of those days when we can't see that far because of the clouds and the rains. Everybody's all socked in. Welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
So there was a story today. In fact, we talked to Maria Pappas, the Cook County Treasurer, that property tax bills will be in the mail in a couple of weeks. But why not go online and check out how much you owe today? They are up now, which is probably going to be the way of the future. I bet that a lot of them won't be even mailed in years to come. So why not look online, pay it, get it over with?
Well, I think that's a good idea, right? Because if you can look online, you can decide if you're going to fight those property taxes, and I would encourage everybody to do that if they haven't done it recently.
And the numbers, I think, Cook, Chicago anyway, going up about $110 per home, which is an increase, but it's not close to what it was last year. I think last year was more than $300. A lot of that increase has to do with paying for pensions.
That's right. And actually, if you own commercial property, it's going up a whole lot more. So for homeowners, we're seeing an increase of 2.75%. But for business property in Chicago, it's going up 7.5%.
And why is it that the increase in business is greater this year?
I think they really think that business owners aren't renters, right? So and voters. So they're not going to be voting them out of office, perhaps.
All right. So we talk about business here and property taxes going up for businesses, property taxes going up for homeowners. How does it affect the attractiveness for businesses coming into Chicago or Cook County, the property tax bills coming out and what they look like today?
Well, I think all these costs weigh in on it, especially when you're up against areas and cities and states where they don't have taxes as high as ours. And that's a reality. Now, you hope that all the wonderful things about Chicago will overcompensate for that. And it is a wonderful place to live and to do business. And many, many companies have recognized that and continue to build here.
And, of course, there's the weather. Oh, wait, maybe not today.
Maybe not today.
We've been talking a lot today as well about the roads, and it's taking hours to get home, and the viaducts are flooding and all of that. Autonomous cars are coming in one way or another, and there's an interesting story at Forbes about how that could actually change real estate values. I don't know if you saw that, but if you did, explain that for me.
Well, I think that one of the interesting things about autonomous cars is that fewer and fewer people like to drive through the traffic, and yet a lot of places don't have the kind of mass transit you'd want, right? So if you live in the suburbs, you still have to get to a train or you have to get to the bus station to get to where you want to go. But an autonomous car could pick you up and just from your house and then just take you, and you can surf the web, read an article, eat dinner, whatever you're going to do in the car. What's interesting about how it affects home value is if you're on one of those routes and if you are going to be able to get rid of your own car to then go with autonomous vehicles, that's something you don't have to own. So your garage could be turned into living space,
right,
and maybe rented out or do something else. And so what's not considered really usable space today could be highly usable in the future.
Elise Glinka is the brains behind BestBunnyMoves.com and ThinkLink.com as well. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.